Okay, so getting close to the end here. We're in Jeremiah 51. I don't know why there's a chapter break here where it was, and we read chapter 50 last time. So we're in the middle of something that's very long. You know, I think we read, well, what was chapter 50? 46 verses already. So there's plenty to go. Remember that this chapter is the last of a series of prophecies against, you know, all of Israel's neighbors. You know, the bulk of Jeremiah is God complaining about his own children, Israel and Judah. But then there's the enemies on the outside, and God had something to say to each of them as well. And then finally, as the sort of the grand finale, the Lord has something to say against Babylon. So there's some things to keep in mind as we go through some more of this. This is going to be relevant to Revelation. Everybody wants to understand Revelation. You know, you're more likely to read Revelation than you are to read Jeremiah, I'm sure, or hear sermons about Revelation and the fall of Great Babylon and so on. If you want to understand those things, you've got to see what the former prophets have said, because Revelation is built on the prophets. So seeing these, like if you've read Revelation a couple of times, some of these verses will jump out at you and ring a bell. So it's about God's judgment. But it's also, I said this last week, it's just as much about God's redemption of his people as it is about judgment on the wicked, okay? Because it's by purging the evil from the earth, that's how God's people gain their freedom, okay? He's destroying the captors and the tormentors. So, you know, if God sounds like he's pouring out his wrath on somebody at the end of the Bible, well, he is, but it's on behalf of his little ones. So I don't know if you did, anybody did their homework. You know, I said, well, you should read Revelation 17 and 18 and the first part of 19. Okay, you see Great Babylon thrown down. And of course, you know, all of the people who are invested in it are holding their heads and mourning over the grief of Babylon. But the saints and the prophets, hallelujah, rejoice, right? Because God has thrown down the great harlot. So the background for all of that is passages like this. So, like I said, I'm not sure why there's an editor's put a chapter break in right here, because we're in the middle of something that's, well, twice as long. So I'm going to take today chapter 51, 1 to 41, and that'll leave some for next time, and we'll get to the end of it next time. It's too long, really, to take the whole chapter in one day. All right, let's go. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against those who dwell in Leb-Kamai, a destroying wind. Okay, Leb-Kamai is the thing I told you about last week, where if you switch the letters to the other end of the alphabet, it spells Chaldea. Okay, interesting. So the other thing was Shishak, right? If you take the letters and switch them to the other end of the alphabet, Shishak says Babel. But Leb-Kamai, it doesn't mean anything, I don't think, by itself. But if you switch the letters, it spells Chaldea. Okay. I will cause to rise up against Babylon and against those who dwell in Chaldea a destroying wind. Okay, like a tornado, right? A hurricane, destroying wind. And I will send winnowers to Babylon. Okay, what do winnowers do? Winnowing is separating the wheat from the chaff. Okay, you trample down all of the crop, and then you stomp all over it, and then they throw everything up in the air, and of course the wheat comes down and the chaff blows away. That's what winnowers do. We'll send winnowers to Babylon, basically to smash everything, sort it all out, take what they want, and leave. Okay, they shall winnow her and empty her land. For in the day of doom they shall be against her all around. Okay, remember, Babylon is now in its own turn subject to an invading army. Right? Babylon was the destroyer, destroyed all of these other nations, including Israel. So she's going to have her turn. And in history, this was the Medes and the Persians. Okay, verse 3, against her let the archer bend his bow, let him lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men, utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through, right, stabbed with a sword, shall fall in her streets. For, see, this is the important thing, Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah by his God, the Lord of hosts. You know, the only reason that God has his eye on Babylon is because Babylon has the Israelites in captivity, and God is going to return his mercy to them. Okay, Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, by his God, the Lord of hosts, although their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Okay, so that's what all this destruction is about. It's about redeeming Israel. Isaiah chapter 40, you know, expresses this idea, you know, comfort ye my people, because she has paid double now for all her sins. Okay, she's been punished enough is the idea. Now it's time to restore my mercies to her. Okay, I mean, if you're a parent, you know this, right? There's a time to punish, and then when the child's been punished enough, you still love the child, and he's still your child. Okay, Paul says in Romans, when talking about the hardness of the Jews toward the gospel, that the day is coming when they will return and be restored. Okay, for now they've been separated. It's what Romans 9 through 11 is about. But Paul says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Okay, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Israel is not forsaken by his God, right? God made covenants with them, right? Paul says, what shall we say? Has Israel fallen beyond recovery? No, by no means. However, by their transgression, salvation has gone to the Gentiles. Okay, we just saw that this morning at the end of Acts, right? Because they're hardened in heart, salvation has gone to the Gentiles. Okay, Israel has transgressed, and Israel has suffered loss because of their transgression. You know, here they're in exile, their homeland was destroyed, their land was filled with sin. However, God's gracious. Okay, he's not forsaken. So verse 6, flee from out of the midst of Babylon. Everyone save his life. Right? God speaking to his people. Do not be cut off in her iniquity. Right? Don't love the world. The world's passing away. This is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon, this is, remember, from chapter 25. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk, and the nations drank her wine. And therefore, the nations have gone mad, right? They're deranged. And you see that in Revelation, okay? The nations have drunk of the maddening wine of her adultery. Okay, same kind of imagery. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. And I think that's a taunt, you know, it's sarcastic. You know, those who were invested in Babylon are going to wail for her. Okay, oh, look at how much riches was lost in one day. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. I think Lord being a little sarcastic there. No, she's not going to be healed. Okay, we would have healed Babylon. We tried to, but she cannot be healed. Right? She is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, to his own country. So being abandoned by whatever allies. Okay, it's a lost cause. For her judgment. Okay, remember we talked about the Tower of Babel last time. Same idea here. Her judgment reaches up to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. Right, they thought we're going to make a name for ourselves and build ourselves up to the sky, but no, it's her sin that's been piled up to the sky, therefore she's ripe for judgment. The Lord, verse 10, has revealed our righteousness, or the Lord has vindicated us, and that's Revelation 19, right? Hallelujah, salvation and honor and power belong to the Lord. His judgments are true and righteous because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of saints and prophets. He has vindicated us, right? He has avenged our blood on her. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Okay, it's time for celebration in Zion, right? Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Okay, verse 11, this is sort of apparently taunting the defenders of Babylon, you know, do your best, here they come, but it's going to be of no use. Make the arrows bright, right? Sharpen your arrows up or polish them up. Gather your shields. The Lord has raised up against you the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple, right, which they burned. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up your watchmen, prepare the ambushes. Okay, do what you can. Here, you know, here comes the invaders. You know, put your guys in the right posts and get them ready to fight. For the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters. Okay, remember there's two rivers, two great rivers, right? It's called Mesopotamia. What does Mesopotamia mean? Okay, the land between the rivers, right? Meso means in the middle and, you know, Potamia is the potam is a river, like a hippopotamus is a river horse, right? Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers. Okay, you who dwell by many waters. Okay, and it says that in Revelation 2, right? These are many waters on which the harlot sits. Okay, abundant in treasures, right? It's the richest place of the ancient world. Your end has come. Okay, time's up. The limit of your days has come, the measure of your covetousness. So now we have basically a hymn to Jehovah. Okay, he's the Lord of hosts. He's the only God. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts. Okay, picture that, you know, like a swarm of locusts, thousands and thousands until you can't see through them. I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He, right, no one else, but he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. He stretched out the heaven by his understanding. And when he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Okay, you have these other fake gods, your idols, right? Your Bel and Marduk and Nebo. They're nobody. There's one God. It's Jehovah the Lord. Okay, they can't save you. Only he can do anything, right? He's the one who's founded the earth, and it's in his hand. Okay, only Jehovah has that power, and you are guilty of enslaving his people. Okay, every man, 17, every man is dull-hearted, without knowledge. He's talking about idolaters. Okay, you're dull. If you worship idols, you're dull, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by his carved images that he makes. For his molded image is a falsehood. There's no breath in them. Right? Think about it for a minute, that idolatry is stupid. You know, I wonder how God must see that. You know, man, like there's this almost a joke in Isaiah. You know, man goes out and cuts down a tree, cuts it in half. Half of it he chops up and makes a fire to cook his dinner over, and the other half he makes into a god. And he falls down and bows down to it. You know, God must think, you know, how you're short-sighted. You're so foolish. You think this is, okay, still craftsmen all over the world that make their bronze gods or metal gods or steel, or, you know, they paint faces on trees and things like that. And, you know, you don't see this is all falsehood. You don't see that, you know, Buddha didn't do anything. You made that Buddha, and you're going to sit there and pray to it. Like, it wasn't there a day ago. Now you're going to pray to it and expect results. Okay, it's a falsehood. Verse 18, right? They are futile, the idols. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Okay, someday it'll all be got rid of. The portion of Jacob, right, the Lord, is not like them. Okay, he's not something that man just made up. He is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. It's very important. There's one God. He has his eye on his people. And the Lord of hosts, right? Yahweh Tzevaot, right? The Lord of the heavenly armies, that's his name. So, you know, if he's God is addressing Babylon, he would say, the reason that I have raised you up and allowed you to even be a force on the earth was to discipline my children, Israel, right? That's in many of the prophets, right? To purify my children by hardship. Okay, but you're too full of yourself, so now I am going to remove you and restore my children to their inheritance. Okay, so think about how this exact process happens again at the end of the Bible, right? The purpose of the Great Tribulation is purification and discipline. Okay, like Hebrews says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his sons. Okay, that's what parents do, right? Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Strengthen your droopy arms and your weak knees. Babylon serves a purpose, right? God's purpose. And so, like the psalm says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, okay? God will remove Babylon and restore his sons to their inheritance. Okay, same process is going on here. Verse 20, addressing the Chaldeans, you are my battle axe. Most other versions say like war club or a war hammer, something that you smash things with, okay, rather than an edged weapon, right? You are my war club, let's say, and weapon of war. For with you I will smash, right, break the nations in pieces. With you I destroy kingdoms, okay, not just Israel, but all those others too. With you I will break in pieces horse and its rider. With you I break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. Okay, this is war, right? It's indiscriminate. Everybody's caught up in it. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. With you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Okay, in Isaiah, which is, 100 years earlier, 150 maybe, God said a similar thing about the Assyrians before Babylon. But he said, does the axe lift itself up above the one who swings it? Who's in charge here? Does the saw exalt itself against the one sawing with it? Okay, as if a club wielded the one who holds it, or as if a staff, a warhammer could lift up him who is not made of wood. Okay, God's not a passive actor here. Okay, it's not Babylon who's in charge, right, or Assyria. Okay, God is the one. You are my warhammer. Okay, you're the tool in my hand. So in 25, he says, "Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth." Okay, that phrase might ring a bell from Revelation. "I will stretch out my hand against you. I will roll you down from the cliff," right, from the rocks, "and I will make you a burnt out mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a cornerstone or a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever," says the Lord. Okay, in Revelation, and it's chapter 11, okay, they're blowing the trumpets. It's the seventh trumpet, last one. You hear this. "We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, because you have taken up your great power and begun to reign. The nations were enraged," right, furious, "and your wrath has now come, and the time has come for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Okay, that's from this verse here, right? Destroying mountain who destroys all the earth. Okay, those who destroy the earth are, the future Babylon. Okay. Verse 27. "Set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations," right? This is to summon them together to attack Babylon. Okay, blow the trumpet. "Prepare the nations against her, call in the kingdoms against her, Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz," which, if you look on a map now, that's Armenia region. It's north of, Mesopotamia's in Iraq, so it's north of there. Maybe northwestern Iran, that part of the, where Mount Ararat is, probably in, far eastern Turkey, that area. "Appoint a general against her, cause the horses to come up like bristling locusts," again, so many that you can't count them. "Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion, and the land will tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of Jehovah shall be performed against Babel to make the land of Babel a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babel have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women," right, running away rather than standing and fighting. The invaders have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gates are broken. One runner will run to meet another. It's like the chaos in the city when the walls are broken through. One runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. So like I said, this time, you want to see that actually happen. That's Daniel 5, the chapter with the writing on the wall. Okay, this very night, your kingdom is taken away from you. So that king of Babylon, Belshazzar, the wall was broken through, the Persians poured in, and, you can just imagine, they're having this big feast and big party on one side of the city, and the other side of the city, the army's bursting through the wall. Okay, the passages are blocked. The reeds, or the marshes, like marshy areas, they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified, right? It's total collapse. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it is time to thresh." Okay, threshing is the trampling part. right? Trampling down, you know, we sing it in that song, right? He's trampling down the vintage, right? God is trampling the grapes. Well, this is not grapes. It's, you know, the idea is the corn or the wheat, okay? He's trampling it down. And yet a little while and the time of her harvest will come. Okay, another thing that's used in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, you remember this phrase maybe where it says, the earth was harvested. Okay, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Okay, time's up. Okay, the time of her harvest will come. A little bit more here, 34. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. Right, this would be Zion testifying. Has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel, right, drained me out dry. He has swallowed me up like a monster. Okay, this word is in Genesis 1. It's the sea serpent, or the King James Version says dragon. Okay, the Hebrew word is tanin, but it's the, you know, where it says, and so God created the great sea creatures, right, the great sea monsters. And he has swallowed me up like a, well, I don't know, like a leviathan, which I guess that happened to Jonah, right? He got swallowed up by a sea monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies, and he has spit me out. Okay, he took everything, devoured it all. Let the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, the inhabitant of Zion will say. Let my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem will say. Okay, I want you to hold that thought. I'm going to come back to that. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case, and I will take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Okay, so an interesting thing from the book of Revelation. It's chapter 16, where the bowls are being poured out, right? It's the third series of things, getting right to the very end. The sixth bowl is poured out on the river Euphrates. Okay, if you want to look it up, it's Revelation 16, right? The sixth bowl is poured out on the river Euphrates so that the Euphrates is dried up. Okay, it says to prepare the way for the kings from the east to assemble them to battle on that great day of the Lord Almighty. Okay, this verse says, I will take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. The very next verse after that in Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who watches, right? Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And the very next verse says, and they gathered them together in the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So I want to point this out as a side note. Even that late in the book of Revelation, okay, it's chapter 16, and it's the sixth bowl. Okay, we're getting down to the very end. The rapture has still not yet happened. Okay, that far into the book of Revelation, okay, it's at this point where they are actively gathering for Armageddon, and the doom of Babylon is hanging right over its head. Jesus warns at that point, be ready. I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the man who stays awake and stays dressed. Okay, and that obviously lines up with other passages from the New Testament, like in 1 Thessalonians, that says, you all know that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day should surprise you like a thief. Stay awake. Stay sober. Stay dressed. Because salvation is just about to come. Okay? Also in Matthew chapter 24, the other relevant passage, this passage where Jesus says, one will be taken and the other left. Okay? He also says there, therefore keep watch, right? Stay awake. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. He would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you're not expecting him. So it's the same language in Matthew, Mark, right? Jesus addressing his disciples. Same in Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And the same thing that late in the book of Revelation, right? On the cusp of Armageddon, be ready. I am coming like a thief. Okay, I will plead your case, the Lord says, and take vengeance for you. I will avenge your blood. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Okay, and in Revelation 19, hallelujah. Salvation and power and glory belong to our God. True and just are his judgments, for he has condemned the great harlot who corrupted the earth by her harlotries, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Okay, you see her drunk with the blood of the saints and of the witnesses of Jesus. Okay, so the deliverance of the church and of newly eyes opened Israel takes place when Christ casts down Babylon. Okay, it is the destruction of Babylon that sets the people free. So Revelation at that point says, rejoice over her, O you heavens, and rejoice, you saints and prophets and apostles, for God has avenged you on her. That is when the Lord Jesus appears in glory to gather his people to be with him. But as I said this morning and said it a lot, he's coming here. He's not taking us away. Okay, the kingdom of God is coming to earth. And Revelation says it, and here Jeremiah says it in verse 37. It says this, 37. Babylon shall become a heap of ruins, obviously, a dwelling place for jackals. In Revelation, it says a dwelling place for demons and for every foul spirit and every unclean and detestable bird and every loathsome beast. Okay, Babylon shall be an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. 38, they shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like young lions, right? Lions, whelps, lions, cubs. When they are inflamed, is what this means, in their excitement, when they're inflamed with liquor, that is, with wine, I will prepare their feasts. I will make them drunk so that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. So again, this is this giant party going on in Daniel chapter 5, and suddenly the collapse of the city on that same night. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Okay, you just lead them right there. It's easy killing. Oh, how Shishak is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become a desolate horror among the nations. Okay, that's as far as I want to go for tonight. But here, what animates God to bring judgment down on Babel? Her arrogant pride, the madness of her idolatry, the destruction of many nations, okay, she's the destroyer of the earth, the piling up of riches, right, other people's plunder, the merciless slaughter of Israel, okay, all the evil they have done in Zion, right, I've been devoured, right, I've been crushed, right, Revelation says, drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Okay, the reason I said hold that thought a minute ago is, if, yeah, we got a couple more minutes. Go over to Psalm 137, because this is a psalm that people who don't understand the Lord or understand the Bible complain about a lot. And I think we need to see it now while we're thinking on this. Psalm 137, here's one of those passages where ignorant people say, oh, look, you know, the Old Testament God is this bloodthirsty God who likes killing children. Okay, ignorant people don't actually yet know the scriptures and understand the righteous vengeance of God against bloodthirsty killers. Okay, it's because Babylon crushed our bones, right? Because Babylon ravaged the nations and destroyed the earth, she's going to receive God's wrath full strength. Okay, so let's read this psalm. Psalm 137, right? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Okay, you see this defeated people. We sat down and wept as we remembered Zion. Okay, just read Lamentations and then read this. Okay, we sat down and wept as we remembered Zion, and we hung up our harps upon the willows in the midst of it in exile. Okay, these are homeless people, right? Their whole nation's been destroyed. They've been dragged off to a foreign country. Okay, and so now they're going to make fun of us. There, those who carried us away captive asked of us or demanded of us a song. Those who plundered us, okay, they stole everything I have, killed my family, but now they want me to sing a song. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can I sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, okay, he's mourning over the loss of the city. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget, like, how to play. I can't, you know, I don't want to play a song. If I do not remember you, I won't sing. Okay, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. And here's this prayer, you know, remembering the calamity of Jerusalem. Remember, O Lord, against, we talked about the Edomites in one of these oracles, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, the day of Jerusalem's fall, okay, when it was being attacked by the Babylonians. They said, Edomites said, raise it to its very foundation, right? They're celebrating over the destruction of the Jews and their city and their temple. O daughter of Babylon, you who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Okay, that's how you served us. That's what you did to us. And, you know, here is this waiting for the Lord to avenge what you did to us. Okay, as we've had a few different passages in the Bible, right? Give to her back as she has given to you. Okay, like I said in the beginning, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The king of Babylon has devoured me, has crushed me, has drained me empty, swallowed me down like a dragon. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies and then spit me out. Let the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon, the inhabitant of Zion will say. Let my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem will say. And thus says the Lord, I will plead your case, and I will take vengeance for you. Okay, so it's important to remember, the Lord says, don't avenge yourselves. But that doesn't mean that vengeance will never happen. Okay, that sin will just go unanswered forever and ever. Vengeance will take place. It's just that the Lord will do it. Okay, he will do it. And when he does it, all God's people will say, amen. Amen. All right, we will finish that, not next Sunday, but two Sundays from now, we'll be back to finish that chapter of Jeremiah. And then we'll have one more time in Jeremiah after that. So then we'll be done. All right, let's pray. We'll give God thanks. Almighty Father, blessed are you, Lord. You are, of course, you are the one who loved us and redeemed us with your son's life. You've showed us tenderness and compassion. Your word says that he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. We know, Lord, that you have loved us. In fact, you love the world. It's your will that everybody would turn to you and receive your mercy, and turn away from their sin and wickedness. But as we see, Lord, it's not to be. There are those who destroy, those who hate, those who trample down the innocent and the unoffending. So we're in your hands, Father. We at least feel the same sense of helplessness that the psalmist felt, and that all we can do is look to you, Lord, when terrible wickedness overtakes the earth. Right now, things are at peace, but we've been through some worldwide wars, and perhaps there's another one on the way. We don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but we know that you are in command and that it all will result in the glorification of your wonderful Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that we would indeed keep watch, stay awake, stay sober, be ready, for the day is coming before too long. So make us faithful, Lord, to your holy name. I pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.